This is book Little Eye. It begins July 3rd, 1984, and runs through February of 1985. It's continuing the problem of trying to control the electroporation of cells with a high voltage pulse. The first couple of pages are concerned with trying to find the way of estimating two things, the amount of killing and what the effective voltage it should that should be used. So page one is talking about the AS impermeability. That's an AS is used as a measure of killing. If cells allow AS in, then they're dead. And so this is trying to determine the ratio between the voltage used for the zapping, or the electroporation, that's to say, and killing. So 3,000 volts, 2,000 volts, and so on. That's right. It points out rather interestingly that at the 3,000 volt experiment 4, the cell shattered. It's a rather dramatic effect. The dead cells were quite variable. 89% were dead at 2,000 volts, at 3,000 volts, it looked like there were more living cells than at 2,000. So there was a lot of variation, which was worrying me. So I began to think about the time constants Thursday, July 5th, page 3, looking at the voltage across a 1-ohm resistor discharging through the cells at 1,000 volts, and it was clear that there are different time constants in different parts of the system. I was unhappy with it and decided at this point that I better use a silicon controlled rectifier system so that instead of having a spark at the time of making the contact and getting the variation in effective pulse, to do something where there were never a spark. Thursday, July 5th, page 5, continuing these experiments. And then as we come to page 6 and 7, it's an interesting set of pages to me, because it's back to some electronic things which I've always enjoyed, and trying to understand how a silicon controlled rectifier could be used to control high voltages. And so I went to the local Radio Shack store and found that they had a silicon controlled rectifier called 2N6173, and the specifications of that silicon controlled rectifier were given, and it was particularly that it could be used with a voltage of about 400 volts, was still usable. Switching 400 volt, but since I was wanting to control of the order of 4,000 volts, it would need 10 of these in series with some sort of circuit to make sure that they took equal parts of the load. Then they're attached to page 6, an enjoyable set of experiments that I did trying to understand it. And it starts with Stage one, July 10th, 4 o'clock, with a mock cell, just using a 910 ohm resistor as a mock cell, trying to understand that the how to control the discharge of a capacitor C1 through the 910 ohm resistor on closing a voltage. And a little circuit diagram then says this fires the silicon controlled rectifier as long as switch S1 is closed, and C1 could be anything from 0.02 to 10 microfarads. That was my stage one, and then going up stage two, July 10th at 5 p.m. It was now two of these in series. Trying to find out what capacitors I needed to use between the two, and notes on this, and so on. It goes on, and at 6 p.m. on July 10th, we get to stage 6, stage 5, and stage 6, where I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these silicon controlled rectifiers in series. Beginning to learn how to get them to fire regularly, and stage 7 and so on and so forth, using resistors to make sure that the voltage drop across each rectifier was uniform, with a comment that 1 mega ohm doesn't work. And also that 47,000 ohms works, but I remember ending up with 1 mega ohm to make sure that the voltage on each rectifier was no one rectifier would have to take the load. And comments like it tends to toggle if not allowed to charge fully, etc. And here we get to stage 8, is now July 11th at 12 noon. It works reliably with one shot only and no back current, so when the voltage is greater than 150, etc. And stage 9, July 11th at 1:30, and stage 10, July 10th at 3 o'clock. And a final tested stage, July 11th at 5 o'clock, where the circuit would say it managed up to 3,000 volts. It breaks down at about 3,500 volts, but is okay at 3,000 volts. About 15% higher than the rating for the silicon-controlled rectifiers. And nothing gets hot, and it can be cycled in about 30 seconds. So that was the final circuit that I made and that I used. And then attached to the page 7 is a circuit that was produced by the electronic shop. I asked them to make a circuit, and it came out really fairly similar to my circuit, it was dated 7/10/84 and tested and works fine, but I was happy to be able to use my machine for further work, which in fact was important for making things reproducible. So with the new Zapper, Thursday, July 12th, page 9, 6 times 10 to the 7 cells available, etc. And zapping at 0 degrees centigrade. I'm not too happy with what was happening with the electrodes, so I had the comment, let's redesign the cell next. And so I retested, however, with the old type Zapper cell, and clean very carefully, etc., etc. A note sell again on page 13, Friday, July 17th. So trying to make things work. Going back to some digestion experiments, theta 133.3, etc., etc., delta beta 117, the digestion of some of the plasmids which we were going to use. In fact, delta beta 117 became our final useful product. And a new cell for zapping designed on the Monday, July 23rd, page 17, which in the end was the one that was used for all the experiments, which had a platinum face and a spacer which controlled the amount of solution that was going to be zapped, 1 square centimeter cross section, and another electrical block on the other side. So two platinum faces with a spacer. But notice that tested with PBS, and gassing or boiling of the cell occurs at any voltage greater than 700. But sparking occurs if there's any air in the cell, etc. So that was the design that eventually was used. And the testing at ice temperature, page 19, and calculating the relative what would relative to a 1 centimeter cube, etc., various calculations, and getting rid of droplets. Testing pulse length, looking at some seals and trying petrol atom, but not liking it very much. Page 21. Now much of the work for a little while is going to be on this problem. Zapping again, Wednesday, August 1st, page 25. 5 millimeter cell, unsealed, etc. And so on we go with Monday, August 6th, page 27, a 500 microliter cell, and the percentage dead at different voltages, in this case quite low voltages, 1000 volts, 750, 500, 250, and a very nice range of death from 5%, 10%, 69%, and 89% dead, so that there was good control over cell death. Aiming basically at getting something of the order of 50% survival, that being something like optimum, by guess rather than by knowledge. And now I'm back to Raju Kuchilapati's material on Thursday, August 23rd, unselected DNA. That's DNA from cells that has not been selected with any antibiotic. So these are bladder carcinoma cells transformed with DNA, delta beta 117, coupled with BSDX1, and then unselected in G48 with the assay of the phage assay again. Total number of phages was 6.3 times 10 to the 8th, and the number that would survive on C1A were 2,520, of which 125 were positive for the beta, and one was positive for the IVS2 probe. Could be more on longer exposure. In other words, one positive that's scored for the recombinant fragment. So that is unselected DNA. Also, referring back to Mike Karoluski's page F24. Candidate minis from I-129. Conclusion, it's okay. But rerun, etc. So it looked indeed as if everything was okay, because it was tested on C1A, C600 suppressor F8 or DP50 sub F, which is the standard that we later used, etc. And then the marker. And the conclusion, it's okay, rerun, diluted a different degree. And rerun of the X-Bar Digest on page 33, Friday, August 24th, with no comment, but the experiment shows the result. So, thinking about Tuesday, September 25th, page 35, trying to rescue the old huge COSOS 17, in which there was some DNA left from a previous experiment. Trying to regrow. And on the foreign page, Tuesday, October 9th, page 37, looking at minis growing up the COSOS again. The yields have been low previously, and so on and so forth, trying to rescue that, that plasmid. And so on page 39, on the opposing page 38, the yield was about 138 micrograms in cells made without chloroform, without chloramphenicol rather, and 200, but less pure when chloramphenicol was not used. And that was tried again with and without chloramphenicol on Friday, October 12th, page 41. And the conclusion, it doesn't do any harm, but the best was without chloramphenicol, 138 micrograms from 3 litres. Plus, as mentioned earlier, plus chloramphenicol, 200 micrograms, but not clean. And so redesigning COSOS 17, still thinking about that big beast, on the following page. In order to make it comparable to Delta Beta 117, and being cut at a single site within the region of homology, I needed to generate such a site, and not so easy. But to trying to do them. putting in a cell on one side in the right place was the idea. I thought I got 1 milligram, but the concentrations were wrong. Continuing this modification of COSOS 17, Friday, November 2nd, page 45. And on the next page as well. The conclusion on page 47 or 46, Saturday, November 3rd, is that decided to proceed with putting in an apposite, continue, but proceed with APA after 18 more hours, etc. Page 49, Tuesday, November 6th. This is actually rather looking to see whether APA 1 will digest as a single site. There must have been a single site within the region of within the Cossos that I don't anymore remember. Trying to get a single cut with APA 1 and with the mini minutes of digestion.
Can I just say that?
So continuing with APA on Tuesday, November 6th, page 49. And this goes on the following page, following several pages. Retest with APA after phenol and restart of the whole thing on page 53. conclusion that this APA is much more potent but still has problems. Start again decision was correct. Now, thinking about purification of these large molecules, I got interested in pulse electrophoresis. The idea being that you get electrophoresis with a pulse of voltage, and then allow the part that allow the DNA to relax again, and then pulse again, and so you can get large molecules to migrate through a gel. Larger molecules than normal would be possible with without waiting between pulses. It was an idea which was popular for a while, but at least in my hands never went very far, although I tried it, and so we made a setup of this type. On page 55, Friday, November 30th. Always interested in electrophoresis. Not very pretty results on Saturday, December 1st. Looks rather poor. And Sunday, December 3rd, doesn't look much better either. And Monday, December 4th, a little bit better. Things look as if they're migrating now. At least it isn't all distorted. Having various thoughts on how long to apply voltage in each direction. And returning to the old conditions for a check. On page 63, gel floated off, but put back. Don't know the extent of the damage, but amazing separation for 6 hours at this voltage. This electrode arrangement is good. Repeat overnight, so the arrangement of the electrodes was good, and separating many polymers, not perfectly, but obviously separating. Didn't repeat very well, because the next pages look pretty poor, with a comment that most are, it looks as if the separations are all set up at the entry region, etc., etc., problems. Continuing this type of experiment over the next few pages. Here I am still looking at it, Wednesday, December 5th, page 71. A very local gel load is okay, etc., etc. So trying to improve things. A longer gel on the following page, load and dilution, and so forth. And until that's Friday, December 7th, page 75. Looking back at some relagation of making a lambda phage. Ligations, lambda CB2, rather to, I think this is basically to get a substrate for testing the a material rather than the substrate, to get a material to test the pulse field electrophoresis gain. So this was taking the bacteriophage lambda CB2 DNA and ligating it to get polymers, and that conclusion is the dilutions are weird with this ligator stuff, but the separations are terrific. So I was very happy with the separations that we were getting. And a longer run on Sunday, December 9th. The polymers are there, but the separation is poorer. New solutions tested on December 11th, page 81. Testing with and without pulses, and the conclusion being that all is working well. With an arrow pointing to a rather reasonable gel versus the one below where there were no pulses and no separation. Even better on page 83, with the conclusion that the separation ranges are very easily controlled by the pulse time, so I was feeling happy about them. And so I'm testing Dixie Margaret's samples on page 85, Thursday, December 30th, and with the comment that her DNA is partially degraded, but signs of cutting with SFI1. So using, but this is an ordinary electrophoresis, not a pulse field, just an ordinary 0.8% TBE, half TBE buffer. And with a comment that the separation is very much voltage gradient dependent. Not unexpected. So plans being pointed out on Friday, December 14th. So I was worried on page 87 whether the material that I was using for these experiments was good or not, and thinking about having a better primary molecular weight standard. Test material for Nabuyo or Nabuyo's material, but with not much indication of what the samples are. regular Markomix, and CGS and MKS, and CGN, MKN, etc., etc. Looking to see whether the Klenau is working. Again, trying to get material to get standards. Better markers then should be still being sought. Friday, December 14th, page 91. And ending, and then being tested, the first mapping experiment on Saturday, December 15th, page 93. Mm-hmm. With a conclusion that this is a separation of various things, materials that were available. And remarkably good for a first try. And it looks as if the cooling is an improvement. This was using the pulse field system. Some samples being tested at markers at 1.6% agarose. There was just a straightforward grey buffer. With a six second pulse in the two directions, electrodes 4, 5 or 9, 2 as they were numbered in this system, and they're quite straight looking gels now. And looking again with markers, page 97, progress is poor. I was worried about whether the polymers were real or being manufactured in the machine, and came to the conclusion that the Klenau worked really because there are no dynamic polymers and that the ligase is working slowly. New Triata marker, Wednesday, December 19th. Conclusion, a discard. Still more marker attempts. Page 103, Friday, Saturday, December 22nd. Retry with ligation first after heating. Including the excellent ligation. But then some note that it's not really so. And continuing in the same vein on Sunday, the 23rd, with a rather unusual comment, conclusion, damn it, still not ligated. And a conclusion again, no change, scrap. Hopefully. On Monday, December 24th, after Christmas Eve celebrations. But it wasn't any good. Abandon, written across the bottom with try a new phage prep, no good, exclamation mark. Usual business over and over again. Next page, looks awful. Clean out the gel and repeat. So here we go, we're now page 111, still the same sort of thing. page 113. And then going to think about fractionating the DNA now in different ways. Using DEA paper. And what is available from the zapping now. So we're going back to size fractionation of material that have been prepared by zapping. So it's necessary to put this a little bit more into context, because we're getting to the important part of the experiments. This is trying to take material that Ron Gregg had made by zapping with different preparations of material, either Delta Beta 117 or COSOS 17, and selecting for nail resistant cells. He had prepared two different preparations, one of which was with Delta Beta 117 and the other with COSOS 17. They had one preparation which was called 1C through 1C-4C, was equivalent to 740 colonies. And 1B through 4B was approximately equivalent to 1131 colonies, and the amount of DNA available was recorded, 1B, 2B, 3B, 4B. And the aim was to get 40 micrograms of size fractionated product in the range 5 through 10 kb to include the 7.6 kilobase target, etc. Now, this is the motivation of this type of work was described in the final paper that we published about targeting. We were concerned about the possibility that the recombinational events that we were observing occurred during the assay rather than in the mammalian cells. So the thought was, if we and we knew what sizes of recombinant fragment, what size the recombinant fragment would be after X-bar digestion. So the fragment would be about 8 kilobases if it was unmodified. About 8 kilobases if the DNA had already been targeted, and would be about 11 kilobases if the DNA had not been targeted. So by pre-fractionating the DNA into the different sizes, one could determine whether the targeted size, or about 8 kilobases, was already in the DNA before the phage assay. So here is the, the motivation was to take the material obtained from the mammalian cell and fractionate it into two sizes, up to 8 kilobases and 10 kilobases or thereabouts upwards, so that if the targeting had already occurred, then we should get colonies in our phage assay from the 8 kilobase fraction, and we should not get colonies from the larger fraction. If the targeting occurred, if the recombinant fragment was obtained in the bacteria assay, then it would be, we would get positive colonies in the larger fraction. So it was an important type of experiment. So this was from Ron. It was DNA from about equivalent of about 4,500 neomycin resistance colonies, and it was the idea being to separate it into two fractions after digestion with X bar 1. And so page 117, no bun as it were, was checking 117 DNA, Casas DNA, etc., to see if the digestion had worked all right. And DNA, DEAE membrane purification being attempted on this material beginning on Thursday, January 24th, page 119. But not too happy with the result. Second try on Thursday, January 24th. Worrying about the marker mix. This marker mix is wrong. But not happy with the product. So continuing on page 123, Thursday, January 24th, to get these materials of different molecular sizes and checking the fragments or the size fractionation on page 123, Thursday, January 24th. Three preparations, 123 fast, 123 medium, middle, and 123 slow. And a fairly clear separation of the three fragments, three results, but and so with a note that the X bar digest looks as if it, at least one of the DNAs could be worth more processing. Third prep gel on the following page, Friday, January 25th. And comments on use of this DNA. Attempting some more tests of the elution material. Different size fractions obtained. The gel's not looking too good. Saturday, January 26th, day in the week came back, trying to obtain the separated material. The gel shows that things are getting better. So that was with the comment at the bottom of the page at 131, pool number 2 and number 3, and proceed with 2. I-121, number 2 is best, virtually no 10.5 kilobase, and number 3 is also good. And S, I-125S is good for the 10.5 fragment. So happy, we're getting happier with having these two types of DNA. Back to digesting some bacteriophages to the bacteriophage DNA as recipients for the purified DNA with what was called delta X bar two preparations. and one 146 micrograms per mil and the other 306 micrograms per mil. But the gel was overloaded and had to be looked at again. Continuing the DNA fractions and the bulk phage digest on Monday, January 28th. So in the end, the pool of material called Delta Delta X was obtained, a total of 330 micrograms as material in which to clone the purified mammalian cell DNA. We're looking at the digest on page 137. Ligations now started Tuesday, January 29th, page 139, ligating half of one and a quarter of the other, about 20 micrograms of each, into the phage. So these are the purified smaller and larger pre-fractionated cellular DNA into the test bacteriophage DNA. Being careful not to get anything mixed. Ligation tests looked at on page 141. Conclusion that the gel was too bad, but proceed anyway. The ligation is okay. So here now is one of the very key pages in working towards the successful result. It's page 143 and opposite 142, Wednesday, January 30th. The large-scale packaging and plating of the DNA of the two types, the smaller pool and the larger pool, pre-fractionated. And all of the details are there of the packaging with the sonic extract and the freeze-thaw lysate and how to do it. And then at the top of the page, on page 143, it says two positive on the large pool, number 4 and number 7A. And that two is obviously overwritten, some smaller number. And I remember very well that I found one doubly hybridizing phage that was grown on the right bacteria and was positive for the beta probe, and then Nebuya saw another almost off the film, and so the number one was changed to two. The comment there is two positive, number four on the large pool, eventually, CI prime, CI 160, 162, meaning that we later showed that they were correct. But this is illustrative of what was needed to get the system working, and I often show this in talking to students at the current time. And the main message from this is not that this was obtaining the positives, although that is the real message. But in the bottom right-hand corner of this page is a little comment that in growing the bacteria which is C1A, grown 28th through 29th, that's Monday and Tuesday. I thought that maybe they were had been made too long ahead of time, stationary culture, so I diluted them to 1/4 and grew them up again, or regrew them for a little while, so they were in the exponential phase. Now, the significance of that comment is not immediately obvious, but it's a very important note, because it turned out that for quite some time afterwards things didn't work, as we shall see as I turn to the next page, 145 and so on. There was continuing this type of experiment with, in this case, getting 1420 C1A plaques from the Poole ligation and from the S ligation of 1756. It's very difficult to get anything to work well. I remember very distinctly what was happening. Here is Thursday, January 31st, page 147, one possible plaque, but it didn't light up with the second probe. Trying again, Thursday, January 31st, page 149, packaging and plating of I-141 F ligation, the fast fragment. Very difficult to see. Yeah, the plaques, I remember the problem. Experiment 0.51 times 10 to the third plaques, C1A plaques, not a very high number. So looking back, wondering what was it that has made the experiment work on page 139, or the 139 ligation, which was the results were on page 143. What had made the experiment work on page 143, whereas I was having trouble, and with this sort of comment here, that the I-139 pool had one very clear positive, IVS2 positive, single isolated plaque, etc., and two very doubtful spots, but one of which turned out to be right, etc. So this was a review of what was happening. Still having trouble. So for Monday, February 4th, I'm going to make a new translator probes. New try, a pool ligation on page 155, Monday, February 4th. Ligating, etc. And the conclusion that the ligation is approximately equivalent to 139. Continue. On the top is a dead loss. See the following page. So on the following page is no phages at all on C1A on either plate. So less than 10 to the minus 6 titration showed packaging of control was a little low and etc. even lower, but no plaques on C1A. So still haven't discovered what the problem is. Dead loss, page 156. Trying further to work out what was happening. On Wednesday, February 6th, page 159, the old method and new method, etc. But nonetheless, some candidates being looked at. I-149F candidate continued from I-159. Clearly two positives on film briefly. And phage minis of these two candidates. And I don't know where this will return, but I still remember very well what the solution to getting the experiment to work again was, to use a freshly grown a bacteria, exponentially grown bacteria, rather than steady-state cultures, saturated cultures, that the exponentially growing bacteria gave much bigger plaques, and by finding that out by looking to see how the experiment had worked on 139. But here we are on Wednesday, February 6th, and Friday, February 8th, just checking these candidates. Redigested on Sunday, February 10th, page 163, with the conclusion that 4 and 7 are okay, 5 and 6 are within the range, etc. So the critical comment is there on rather small letters that 4 and 7 are okay at 7.6, meaning the fragment is 7.6 kilobases long, the recombinant fragment, and five or six are within the P range, so the correct fraction was plated. I made it for this stage. And I'm happy that the phages, that the recombinant event had occurred in the mammalian cells and not in the during the assay. So we're beginning to really believe things.